WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week,
Alberta Heritage Champion,
Keishi Matsunaga.
The champ is here!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Another edition of WTR tonight, Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. It's September, which means if you want to sub and get percentages off, you can do so till the end of the month. Or if you have that Amazon Prime, you can link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support this channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. I'm Sorokin. The champ is still here, Keishi Matsunaga.
Still here, somehow, still the champ.
And someone who's not the champ, he's just the intern, Kane Kittens.
Hey, I could be a champ for something in my own right, you don't know.
Are you?
Not currently, but I could be.
You have potential, I believe in you.
Thank you, KG.
One day he'll be a champion of something.
Days off.
A champion of education.
Champion of education. That would be something.
Yeah, that's when I earn a PhD. That's when I become a champ. A champ.
I don't think that's it. Okay. Anyway, so I know it's not in the sheet because I forgot to put it in the sheet, but we're going to talk about it at the start. The White Rabbit is coming. Who do we think the White Rabbit is?
I defer to Keishi.
Someone who may or may not be able to get into Canada.
I think he's able to get into Canada, but I don't think he's making it to Canada.
No. Okay. So as someone who lives up here and has attended many a WWE event in Canada televised, I'll tell you right now, he ain't coming to Raw tomorrow. Because when Raw or SmackDown is in a Canadian city that's not Toronto, or as they call it in Toronto, nothing happens. So I wouldn't expect anything for tomorrow except more teases, maybe a QR code, and if we're all lucky, a puppet.
Wait, a puppet?
I don't think there'll be puppets.
No, puppets?
Well, no.
A doll? There might be a doll. But even then, I don't expect the doll to show up.
So do we all believe it's who we think it is?
Person who may or may not have followed buzzards at one point?
Yeah.
Someone who may or may not have carried a lantern at one point.
Including his own head as a lantern?
I mean, it could be that person. We don't know for sure because, you know, no one really knows.
Let's put it this way. For all of the speculation, for everything that has gone into this, if it is not who we think it is, it's probably going to go over like a lead balloon with the fans.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone thinks they know who it is. They're waiting for it. The second that son of a bitch pops out, if it's him, he's going to get a monster reaction.
He's already getting reactions when they play the rabbit music in the arena.
How wild of a misdirect would that be?
I mean, yeah, it would be a crazy misdirect, but like, I don't think they can misdirect the fans that much.
The way I put it, because Rock, Lindsay, and I talked about this, if it's anyone but Mr. Windham, they're going to turn it into Rey Mysterio at the Royal Rumble. No matter who it is, they will be booed for the foreseeable future anytime they come out because it is not who they thought it was. Right. Not just that night. It's going to follow.
Brant, where was that Rumble at? Do you remember?
Was it Philly?
I think it was Philly, wasn't it?
I think so.
What was it, 14?
14? Was oh, it, 2014.
Yeah. Or was that... Was it the 15? It was the one Roman one, right?
It's the 2014 Royal Rumble.
So that wasn't Philly, okay? That was in Pittsburgh, okay? Not the direct connection I thought it was going to be. Good. All right, we can't be blamed for that one.
No, it was the one that Batista won.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Because that was setting up for 30.
Yeah, okay. So we can't be blamed for that reaction. Good. All right, never mind that. Because that would just be... You know, fitting if it happened in Philly at the Rumble, then happened in Philly at Extreme Rules.
Well, because in that case, 30 was supposed to be Brian, right?
No, that, was it?
It was. I thought because I thought that was Bray and Daniel fighting early in the night.
Yeah,
and then a lot of people put in their heads that Daniel Bryan was going to enter 30 because it was the Yes Movement.
Yeah,
kind of kicking in, and they thought, oh, Brian's gonna come out. And then Ray came out and everyone just shat on. Don't get me wrong, Ray coming back, cool to see, but it wasn't who everyone wanted, and he paid the price.
He did indeed pay the price. So yeah, we think all the clues just gonna lead to what, Extreme Rules? I think that's kind of the general consensus.
I think if you're gonna debut him, yeah, do it at Extreme Rules. Do it at a pay-per-view, probably not TV.
Definitely not a Monday Night Raw in Canada. It's not going to happen.
Keishi is just shitting on his home country right now.
I'm just being realistic. and really, really, it's less shitting on my home country and more shitting on the fact that, like, WWE does not care about Canada. And they, like, not since, I don't know, it's been a very long time since they did anything, like, really big at a SmackDown or Raw in Canada.
That was in Toronto. Because they gave you Johnny in Toronto. They gave you takeovers in Toronto.
Yeah.
They put Edge on Monday Night Raw in Toronto.
Yeah. Toronto is like, is their equivalent of like, all right, we did Canada. Good job, everybody.
So you're saying it's the Chicago of the Canada run, where you want to get that pop?
I think it's been since, 2001, maybe? Because they were trying at one point.
I mean, I recall seeing, I think the last good thing that I recall seeing, and I could be wrong of this being the last thing, but I remember Edge and Hulk Hogan tagging at a show I went to in Calgary. That was pretty cool. But I don't remember anything like really more than that.
See, I was thinking, I remember like 2001 was the two man power trip thing with Redacted and Jericho.
Yes. I think that was the era of like things actually happening in Canada. But since probably 2005 and longer, we don't get much. We get like, I think we get maybe some like vignettes. You know, Hunter went to find Shawn Michaels at a Raw in Calgary, but they weren't at Raw in Calgary.
They weren't
it
there.
It was all vignettes. The biggest story of the show. And none of the guys were in the building.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Yep.
So, we'll see what happens as the teasers go on.
Yeah. The proverbial carrot will be dangled in front of us, hopefully until the premium live event.
Which is Saturday, October 8th, right here in Philadelphia. But, switching to AEW, Jon Moxley is again champion.
Three times.
But was it
world champion?
Didn't they call him a three-time champion leading up to the match? Because they were counting his
the interim belt.
No, I think they were counting his WWE run.
Oh,
because they were doing that for Brian too when he was in the tournament. He was a whatever ex-champion. And Jericho was an X amount of champions because...
Was a seven-time champion.
Yeah.
Because he now became eighth, winning the ROH world title.
Okay, which was...
Which I still don't understand.
Which was the bigger title win on Wednesday? Mox or Jericho?
Mox.
The more shocking one was Jericho. The bigger pop was Mox.
The more meaningful was Mox.
Yes. The more angering the internet wrestling community was Jericho.
So what, Cesaro had a 3-month run that no one really talked about?
Yeah, that was a little disappointing.
Kind of the MO for how people book Cesaro no matter what promotion that he's in.
Kind of the way that Tony views the Ring of Honor Championship.
Is this a play to put him on TV to get, you know, a TV deal for ROH, put the bell on Jericho?
I feel like it's more of a like storyline, like Jericho's the last person who should be winning that belt, and the way he won the belt was very non-honorable, which forward pushes that Daniel Garcia Jericho story.
But doesn't Garcia have an ROH belt?
Yeah, well, because, and I mean, he's definitely like he's leaning more towards the like I'm a wrestler and less of a I'm a sports entertainer, especially winning that title and winning cleanly and trying to be like, oh, I don't want to see you cheat, Jericho, and he keeps cheating. So, I mean, they probably could have done it without handing him the ROH title, but what do you do? It gets Jericho heat from the internet because with what he's doing right now as a character, nobody thinks he should have it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at it from a storyline perspective of, you know, getting people to kind of not like Jericho for one more reason, winning an ROH championship is a way to go, especially when Tony Khan doesn't really care about that title.
It's kind of evident he doesn't really.
Yeah, let's just give it to Jericho. People are going to hate it on the internet, and I don't really care who holds that thing.
I got my $1 million gate. I mean, I'm happy. I sold, you know, I begged for people to buy tickets on Twitter for 3 days.
Well, here's the equivalent of what people think of the Ring of Honor World Champion. They'll randomly throw that person in, like, Battle Royals to contend for the AEW World Championship.
They did that at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, right. Well, that's where we saw Jonathan Gresham fighting for a chance to compete against the AEW World Champion, whereas what he should have done is walked out with that belt and been like, I am a world champion in my own right. I should, you know, we should go champ for champ here. But instead, it's just, nope, screw it. You're just another guy. You're on the level of Wheeler Yuta, the pure champion, because that's about what I think of that belt, too.
So is Mox the most reliable guy in wrestling right now?
I mean, definitely AEW.
I think the fact he hasn't gotten hurt makes him reliable.
And he's willing to kind of drop everything for his company.
Poor guy was supposed to be on vacation. His wife is sitting there probably going, he could have been somewhere with sun and relaxing, but nope.
Yeah, he's the living wrestling embodiment of I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Well, and the whole thing that gets me about this is, weren't people complaining? It's like, oh, WWE worked him so much that, you know, at the very end he broke down and he had to have, you know, like the bicep surgery or, you know, the 9-month arm repair, essentially.
Yeah.
And yet in AEW, really the only time the guy gets off is because he went to rehab. Other than that, they've thrown him out there every goddamn week as well.
I mean, it probably helps that he's, you know, mentally in a better space, aka like he wants to be there.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm sure if he was like if he was being like mentally treated the same way as he was in WWE, he probably would have just been like, nah, I'm gonna go on my vacation. But I mean, he clearly believes in at least what they're trying to accomplish in AEW. Otherwise, a guy like that who can basically, I mean, I think he's set up where he can kind of work wherever he wants.
Pretty
so
much.
The fact that he postponed his vacation to come back and, you know, make sure that the show at least is, I don't know, just to try and keep it moving forward in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I give him props for that for sure.
Also, honorable mention, the Acclaimed won tag belts. Thoughts?
You know, I think it would have been a bigger win had they won at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything aligned for them to be able to win it there. I don't think waiting 3 weeks and then doing it in New York made it any more special. And I think especially the fact that they had to have Billy Gunn help them win takes something off of it as well. Especially when they're supposed to be the baby faces of the group.
That was a little weird. I agree.
Well, and especially because a minute before that happened, when the referee first went outside, which, by the way, why is he outside trying to push Keith Lee back to the corner? The referee, when he first gets outside, goes to Billy and is like, don't you touch him. I will, you know, essentially like that will disqualify them. And then turns his back and goes to Keith. And then Billy goes and lands the Famouser. It's like, what? It didn't need that. In fact, it would have been better had, you know, Bowens or Caster just been able to win it on their own. Go up there, because they were playing, you know, the beatdown faces the entire match. It just so happens that this time Caster was the one who hurt his knee instead of Bowens in the first match.
Yeah.
They just put the script back out there for the first match. And yeah, it just, in my opinion, it took something away. Both not doing it when it was supposed to, and then having them essentially cheat to win as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting kind of how that plays out going forward. Whether they do a rematch and they kind of, I don't know. Hopefully it's not one of those things where like, oh, well, we gave them the win that people wanted, but there was cheating, so we're going to set up a rematch and they're going to give it back to Swerve and Our Glory.
No, I don't think you can give it back to Swerve and Our Glory, because from what happened at the end of the match, I think they're finally going to pull the trigger on Swerve turning on Keith, because the entire time Keith has not really been a heel.
Yeah.
I mean, he played it up a little bit at the pay-per-view, but
yeah, he was way more just aggressive than heelish.
Right, it was more just kind of like, okay, the crowd's giving this reaction. Okay, it's like Swerve has been actively the heel. Like, he's been, you know, roughing up people. He's been like trying, he's been getting the cheap shots in, and you can see Keith looking at him like, what the hell?
Yeah, and they've been playing that up real nice.
And they keep having like the incidental contacts between the two. You know, whether it be the jump kick from Swerve that hits Keith, or Keith hitting, you know, sending Swerve into like the next zip code. Something along those lines. But it just feels like Swerve has always kind of been just kind of riding that line, like, okay, yeah, he gets cheers because it's Swerve Strickland, but everything that he does just exudes like, I'm gonna be an absolute dick. So I think they can just take it and kind of turn it and run with it. Plus, I mean, what else are you gonna do with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland right now?
Yeah.
Now coming to AEW is Paige, aka Soraya, however you want to pronounce it, has debuted for AEW this past Wednesday night. Thoughts?
I think it's a great moment that she walked out and got that pop. I think it's going to be very telling what happens in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Because if she comes out next week, and just like this time, if she comes out and no one touches her, we have an answer about what's going to happen with Paige or Soraya. Because if you notice, the second she came out, all those heels got out of the ring, and they stayed far back. The faces, the only time they touched her was to give her, like, a kind of hug, but there's no, like, contact, which seems to point to the fact that she may not still be cleared.
But Taz was like, she can go.
That's great. Everything I've read has said no doctor has cleared her yet.
She said, don't believe what you read on the dirt sheets.
Bullshit! Because if, as we've seen in AEW, if she had been cleared, they would have given you a taste of it. They would have given you just, you know, her throwing a punch would have been something, because everyone would have gone, oh my God, look, she can go. She can do something. The fact that she casually walked out, got in the ring, screamed that it was her house, and didn't do anything seems to point to, yet she's not cleared.
I mean, that's the more likely case. Other than they're just messing with us.
If she is cleared, that's great. But if she isn't cleared, Casey, why bring her in?
I mean, there's the initial pop of bringing her in. That's obviously something.
Yeah, but beyond that.
Yeah, aside from that, if she's not cleared to wrestle, I mean, theoretically, she could do the managerial thing, and hopefully better than she did in, or better than they used her in WWE. They could definitely use her to like elevate some of their female talent that maybe not be as strong on the mic. They could have her be the quote unquote figurehead of the women's division. There isn't a whole lot else they could do with her aside from that stuff, unless they put her on commentary, but I mean, there's tons of commentary. They can't have her do that full time.
They're already using like Matt Menard on commentary. They're using, you know, Angelo Parker.
Well, and Jericho pops in there every once in a while.
And Ricky Starks used to.
Taz is in and out. Yeah, but I mean, like, a lot of those guys, aside from Jericho, a lot of the other wrestlers that they put on commentary are kind of like, they're not very consistent. Jericho's on there quite a bit.
He's the Rampage guy, yeah.
Yeah,
for the four-man booth, I guess.
If they swap her out with Jericho for Rampage, maybe, but I don't know if that's really like, that's not a great use of her.
I mean, technically, wasn't the Big Show and Mark Henry supposed to be commentary as well?
Isn't Big Show commentary still, or is they've stopped that?
I don't think he's been on Elevation. I think they've been using like Matt Menard and Tony Schiavone.
Yeah. Well, unless Show's kind of been given some time off to get ready for his Captain Insano.
Which is so fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
I mean, depending on how they use it.
He's 40 something years old, and he's going to debut a gimmick that he used in a movie almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. So like I say, if they use it the right way, like, you know, really quick in and out of a battle royal. That's all he needs to do. Or some backstage interaction with Danhausen. I'm not expecting like a Captain Insano run.
Oh no, I'm not either. But at that point, what's the purpose of being a, you've already got someone doing the comedy shtick with Danhausen, and you've already got someone else kind of doing a bit of comedy shtick in Orange Cassidy. At that point, isn't it just kind of overkill?
Probably, but I mean, I'm not running that company.
If she is cleared, who's the first opponent? First big match.
Her versus Britt Baker for the soul of Jamie Hayter.
I think Jamie Hayter has decided where her soul belongs.
Well, because I remember when Soraya was still with WWE, before she left, that she talked expressly about Jamie Hayter. And like, oh, if she could manage her, like, she could take her to a whole different level. I mean, plus the fact that they're both Brits. So yeah.
I mean, that's still possible. And I mean, that could be the thing. It maybe not necessarily like from if she can wrestle. Yeah, they could. I mean, I don't know if they would wrestle for the soul of Jamie Hayter, but they would wrestle and maybe have Jamie Hayter, you know, pull the double cross on Britt Baker. If she can't wrestle, then yeah, she could be the one that like they could run that story of getting into Jamie Hayter's ear and talking her up about being like, oh, well, you're better than this. Why don't you come hang out with me and I'll get you to your full potential? Yada, yada, yada. You shouldn't play second fiddle to Britt Baker. And I mean, they could do that. It would work. But I mean, clearly, they're obviously going for something with Britt Baker first. Otherwise, she wouldn't have come out after that match.
Yeah. To be fair, though, it may not be the best choice to have her go against Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa as her first match, considering I think both of their track records and possibly injury, or being injured.
I mean, at least if she goes up against Britt Baker, it'll be Britt who gets hurt, not Soraya.
True.
I'm just thinking of all the kicks and the fact that her new finishing move is the stomp.
Well, I mean, there's a good chance that if they do wrestle, that stomp will be put by the wayside, and she'll set up some other way for the submission.
Or it's a stomp to the back, not the neck. They'll can figure something out. All right, Brent, go.
Yeah. Wait. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Go. You know what's on the sheet. Just go.
It happened. They listened to us. They heard us on Sunday. They joined in with Keishi, you know, when he did it unofficially, and they made it official. Sami Zayn is an Oos.
We've willed it into the universe.
It was said, until there was merch involved, it was not official. On Friday, they made our wish come true.
And they did it in the best way.
Yeah, they did. We spent weeks talking about a shirt. Weeks.
I love the fact that, I think it's Jimmy that doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jimmy goes up and just rips the son of a bitch off.
Or no, that was Jay, wasn't it?
No, it was Jimmy because he was angry.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought he said
no. Jay. Wait, no. Is it? What is it? Who's the main event? Main event? Jay Uso.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like Jay. Jay doesn't like him. It's Jimmy.
Yeah, because he was the first one there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the first solo, and then he's the one that essentially had to prove himself and got forced into the bloodline.
Yeah, he got beaten in submission.
Right, and his brother got knocked out into the bloodline.
He got hit so hard he changed his mind.
Well, not even hit. Remember, Roman put him in the guillotine.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay had to tap for him, essentially.
Yeah.
But it was like, Jay has always been sitting there, and as much as Sammy has been, you know, doing the Oos thing, Jay has been sitting there the whole time just like, bitch, you haven't paid your dues. What are you doing? But Jimmy and Solo and Paul are all like, hey, he's one of the boys. And I thought it was just great that, number one, Jay was the one that tore the shirt off.
Yeah.
And then two, when they give him the shirt, if you notice, Jay pulled back to the corner and he's just standing there, like, looking daggers.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like, you son like, you of could, a bitch.
You could almost see the steam coming out of his ears once he realized what was up.
Yeah,
he was so happy to rip that shirt off. He's like, yes, now everybody understands. Everybody understands that he's not right. And then they just toss him the shirt and he's like, what?
But Jimmy's sitting there smiling like, all right, Oos. And Solo, of course, has his back and decided to beat the high holy hell out of Madcap and Ricochet earlier in the night to prove it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sammy...
Including Ricochet sending himself into the...
Yeah. I mean, Sammy's definitely, like, he's done a whole lot of, like, pushing those boys out of the way and taking shots. It's weird that Jay's mad from a you're not paying your dues perspective, that doesn't make any sense, because like, he's been sacrificing himself when he doesn't need to.
Okay, someone's gonna hate this. I'm putting it out there right now. I apologize, but I have to make this reference. So Rock, does that remind you of anything in particular?
Do tell, right?
So there's someone who's in an organization, we'll say a family.
Uh-huh.
And there's an outsider that has been brought into the family, and they're doing things to, you know, help the leader. They're proving themselves, yet there's someone standing there the whole time looking at him like, I don't trust him. There's something there. I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels kind of familiar. I apologize in advance, but for those of you who don't know, I'm making the reference to the fact this feels very much like Randy and the family when it happened a couple of years ago.
When Luke Harper thought, oh, we can't trust this person, he's just going to break us up. But Randy was accepted into the family and was part of the family. Like, Sammy apparently now is part of the bloodline.
Luke was right, Lindsay. Luke was right.
So is Jay, does Jay know what's up? Can Sammy be trusted?
I mean, Sammy could be playing a very long game here, because he's a smart guy. He realizes that you can't come at Roman directly head on.
No.
And from everything we've seen, anytime Sammy tries to go head on with someone, he learns, I will probably get steamrolled. Because he understands he's not a big guy. But what he's able to do is capitalize on planning. He's able to capitalize on, you know, picking your spots and getting in with someone, and also through that learning things about the others. Plus, it would be very easy to make your move if you're already amongst everyone and they don't suspect it. He got an example of that by Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just one of those kinds of things also where, like I said, a second layer of it is the fact that Jay has had to prove himself more than anyone, because he was the first one to go up against Roman when it was all starting. Roman was the one who beat the most out of him, and he was forced to join the bloodline back then. And it's like, he's kind of accepted his role and realized how much he can get out of this partnership. But all in all, it's like, you know, he was beaten down into submission. His brother, it was kind of bringing in like, hey, you know, we got to do right by the family.
Mm-hmm.
His younger brother is just like, we've established everything. You're part of the family. Come on in.
Well, I mean, he's also, you know, he's the I can leave the United States guy.
Very true. he is the Uso brother who does not have a criminal record right now.
He's the international Oos.
He has the clean passport.
So now, like, Solo and Sammy need to be a tag team and call themselves the International Ooze, because they can leave the country.
International Incident.
So, okay.
But yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out in the near future, because, you know, if Sammy keeps jumping in and, you know, like, yeah, he's helping Solo out. He's trying to help the Usos out, but Jay is doing essentially all he can to cost Sammy. Because we saw that recently where him and, you know, Jay and Sammy had the essentially butting of heads during a match. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and if the family decides to, you know, do you stick with blood or do you reward loyal?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's either that or, like, Sammy's eventually just got to confront Jay and just be like, what do I need to do to earn your respect and earn your trust, and then do it? Or try to do it and fail, and then that's where the blow-up happens.
We'll see. So now this begs the question, because me and Brent were having a discussion and trying to figure some stuff out for what we're going to do tonight, and we decided let's do a tier list.
Nothing good comes from our conversations. We'll just put it that way.
Nothing ever.
I'm enjoying where this is going.
So we've decided to rank the NOIE family, and I kind of changed things just now on the fly for it, Brent. We have different labels.
Oh, we do.
We do. So for the NOIE family tier list, we have the head of the table, which is the S tier.
Okay.
You get to sit at the head table. That's the A tier. You get to sit at the kids table. That's B. You get invited to dinner. That's C. And then D is invitation gets lost in the mail.
Oh, God. Okay.
Now, are there specific criteria that we need to use to, like, rank these people, or is it just whatever we decide?
Whatever we decide.
It's how you feel. And I will add a caveat to this, because Rock was asking me, you know, who do we include in everything? This includes blood and being married into it.
Yeah. We have a list. Yeah. We have a bunch of names that you can see on our sheet that we're going to go through. So the first name, the Usos, where they sit in this ranking?
Oh.
Are they at are they at the head of the table, or are they sitting at the head table? Are they at a kid's table?
They're sitting at the head table, but they're not at the head. Even though they've gotten the tag titles for an ungodly amount of time and brains.
I don't know. I'd put them at the head of the table. They've done a lot of good stuff. And, like, in the echelon of the family in general for a tag team, they are, like, I would say they're the head of the table of the tag teams in that family.
You put them in front of their dad?
I think they've accomplished more than him.
Their uncles?
Yeah. Mm. But, I mean, I'm not opposed. Like, it's either S or A for me.
We can, what we'll do here, we'll put them in S tier for now. And then now you can move, we can adjust as we go, so. Now you know what your you know, there's your standard of what your expectation is. Now you go from there. All right, let's go with Yokozuna.
Ooh, honest, I'd put him probably S.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the people that kind of helped set the stage for someone like a Dwayne, someone like a Roman. He had the world title reigns. He had the tag team title reigns. He was a dominant force within his era. Like, when 100%. You saw Yokozuna walk out, it was like, oh, shit. Like, who can beat that? And then, you know, Hulk Hogan beats him in, you know, a minute at WrestleMania 9.
Well, you know.
after Bret Hart gets beaten, you know.
Okay. So you say...
I have to make the Hart reference.
So he's...
Well, I mean, Bret Hart wore him down.
Yeah. So he's head of the table. Above or below Uso?
Ooh. I would put him above Usos.
I would put him above the Usos because, again, he... Like, while the Usos have the tag team title reigns and the experience, again, I put credence in the fact that, like, Yoko was a trendsetter.
Yeah.
The Usos would not have half the opportunities had it not been for Yoko setting the table.
I agree.
All right, Tonga Kid.
I don't know much about the Tonga Kid, I'm not gonna lie.
He's there with Jimmy Snuka. Like, they tagged together, they were the Wild Samoans, but the Tongans.
he didn't allegedly kill anybody, right?
No, but he completely, you know, backs and supports the man who did.
Oh, we don't like that.
Yeah.
So is the invitation lost in the mail?
That's where I would put it. I would lose that invitation.
Brent, do you have an argument against?
If anything, I would give him a C, but I feel it's...
It's like a C minus if it's a C.
Right, like I can make a case for a C, but I also don't feel great about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's just stick with it, Jimmy Snuka. Is his invitation just now lost in the mail?
Yep.
If this, the more that has come out, the more you learn about him, yeah, that image is very much tarnished.
Okay.
Like, if you strip that away, and I'm not absolutely stripping it away, because you have to consider everything with this. If you look at just him as a performer, him as, you know, what he did, in my opinion, he'd be a B or a C.
Right.
Because, again, he's someone that set the stage and, you know, was an attraction for a while. But I don't think you can ignore what we learn. And so, therefore, it plays a role. And, I mean, if we're gonna get into this, I'll just say, like, the only reason he's part of the NOIs is because of his second wife. He wouldn't even be considered part of this group had it not been for that. So that also plays a role, in my opinion.
Okay. Jacob Fatu.
I would put him at a... Jacob's the one in MLW I think I put on there, right?
Yeah.
I would put him at a B.
Okay. So he gets to sit at the kids' table?
He's at the kids' table. He was the heavyweight champion of MLW for some ungodly period. I think like 2 years or more. But at the same time, the question is, like, how does he fit within everyone else? Like, everyone else has accolades on a high level. And I hate to say this, MLW is not very high level, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I still acknowledge the fact that it's like, yes, he was a world champion in his federation. He held it for 2 years. He's been, like, the head of the table there. But it feels like it's the head of the kids' table. How about you, Keish?
Yeah. I mean, like, he's as far as like his wrestling abilities, it's great. I love watching him, but I would put him at the kids table just because he isn't quite in, like, he hasn't made it up to the bigger companies like a lot of the other guys have, where I would put at the head table. So I would put him at the kids table for sure. But like, he's getting ready to move up.
Okay, how about,
like, he's at the kids table, but he's going back for seconds.
Okay, how about,
he's that kid that's about to head to college.
Yeah.
How about Lance in Hawaii?
I'm trying to figure out which one he is in the picture.
He's also an MLW person. All right.
I'd put him at the kids table.
Okay.
I mean, like, as much as, you know, you can't, like, as much as people don't consider MLW as like top tier wrestling promotion, it's still, I mean, they're, you can watch it on YouTube. They have reach. So like, I would give them a little bit of clout for that. So, and so making it to MLW is, I think it's still admirable.
Oh yeah. Cause they have reach around the world.
Yeah. Like you can get exposure working for MLW easily. Like,
I was going to say, I think someone from MLW is possibly one of the top guys in AEW right now.
In both companies. There's people who have come through MLW and WWE right now.
So yep.
a lot of them have spent time there. All right.
Yeah, like I would say like MLW is definitely like a kids table position.
Okay. Nia Jax.
See.
She gets invited to dinner.
She gets the invite to dinner, but she has to stand in the kitchen.
She has to help cook.
Because she's going to start a fight with someone, and then someone's going to leave angry and probably somewhat hurt, emotionally or physically.
Okay.
Nia Jax always... The problem with Nia Jax, in my opinion, is that she had, like, the Samoan connection that I think got her to where she was. Now, she's also a model in her own right, but I think in terms of wrestling and in terms of the push that she got, a lot of that was based on connection, and I think they pushed her further faster because of that than she probably should have. And I think that overall hurt her because in some ways she wasn't prepared for the level she was at.
What about Tamina?
I don't want to put her on the same level with Nia.
I'd put her at the kids' table.
I was going to say, I think I'd put her for longevity for... and to be fair, though, she doesn't have the same steps as like some of the other women in the division do. But she still can perform.
Yeah, she can outperform Nia, 100%.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, so like that's what like I would put her at the kids table for sure.
I would not fight that. I think she's towards the lower end of the kids table, but she is still at the kids table.
Okay.
She's happy to be at the kids table.
All right. How about Peter Maivia?
Oh, the high chief. Oh, jeez. On reputation, he feels like he should be S. I think, however, I would probably put him at the head table, but not at the head of the table, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's not sitting at the top. He's at the table with everyone else, but not.
Yeah, I'd
not,
put
he's not
put
wearing him, he's not wearing the red beaded necklace thing.
Yeah, he's like Yokozuna, I think he did a lot to help the family get where it is. But I think in terms of overall power now, yeah, he's sitting at the head table. He belongs there, but he's not sitting at the ends. He doesn't get the drumstick at the dinner, if you know what I mean.
No, he's earned his spot more from like as a promoter standpoint.
Yeah.
Over and I'm not saying like I'm not taking away anything for his skill as a performer, but like when you talk like the legacy of Peter Maivia, it's like running Hawaii and running that territory and putting in the work, trading with the other guys, and I think he has more of the respect as, you know, a promoter than he would as a wrestler if you kind of talk to people.
Alpha and Sika.
I think they also sit at the head table, but are not at the full head.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if this was done 5 years ago, they would possibly be at the head of the table.
They're just at the table, not the head of.
But right now, I feel like the younger gen has pushed past them, and so they've stepped back to like sitting at the middle of the table, but still at the head table.
Yeah.
Samu.
He tagged with Rikishi as the Samoan SWAT team.
And the head triggers in WWE. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is he invited to dinner?
I mean, he was in WWE for a while.
He was. Yeah, Ron.
I'd put him at the kids' table. I wouldn't.
Kids' table
at the highest.
Highest at the kids' table for now?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me that. Rosie.
He's like that guy that got invited to the wedding but didn't have a date. And so he got sat at the kids' table, but the stories, man, the stories.
Okay. Rosie.
Oh, I think he gets an invite.
Yeah, but like ahead of Nia. Like we're happy to invite Rosie to dinner.
Okay. Solo.
Solo's at the kids' table.
Yeah.
Where at the kids' table?
Who's in front of Nia? Or I'm sorry, Tamina.
One of the either Lance or Jacob.
Okay, that's Lance because Jacob has the red scarf.
So yeah. So in between them or above them?
I would put him on one side of Jacob or the other.
I would put him between Jacob and Lance.
Yeah.
Because the thing is like he's gotten to NXT. He's gotten into it, and again, it's not like Casey said, MLW is not necessarily a demotion or anything along those lines. But it's like I want to give Jacob his due of holding that championship as long as he did and running that company as long as he did.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, Solo has, yeah, he hasn't been there long enough.
Umaga.
Jamal.
Umaga.
Hmm.
Oh, I know. It's, he has multiple parts of his career.
I know. I'm just saying, we're going to go with the one that, you know, matters.
I know.
Where do you put Umaga?
Part of me wants to put him towards the head table.
Yeah, I like the end of the head table or the front of the kids table is kind of where I was thinking.
So sits at the head table,
but yeah, like, I would but say like only because like, oh hey, we happen to have an extra chair, so he gets like brought up.
Well, and
he gets brought up from the kids table because there's space.
And I feel like he was that kind of transition. It's like after Dwayne left, they had him as kind of a vicious Samoan, like in the run with John, and you know he was part of Bobby's storyline as well with the whole WrestleMania and ECW championship situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so it's like when he was Umaga, they tried to make him a really big deal. They tried to make him feel like he was in that top tier.
Naomi,
she's invited or at the kids' table.
I put her at the front of the kids' table. If That one's hard because it feels like she's in that, she's just in that space in between sitting at the head table and sitting at the kids table, because she has done a lot when you look at her actual like career accolades.
So Casey had her close to dinner and low end table, and you have her close to head table. So where do you guys meet in the middle?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would put her ahead of like Jacob Fatu.
Okay. Is she ahead of Solo or below Solo?
She's done more than Solo.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's between Jacob and Solo then.
Sure.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I would be okay with that.
Okay. Rikishi.
Kind of want to put him at the head table.
Yeah. But I wouldn't put him. It's. I'm looking at like. I'm looking at Umaga. And I'm wondering if he should be in front or behind Umaga.
Part of the thing that sucks is like I look at Umaga and I see like legitimate killer.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was portrayed. Whenever I. And this is part of like where I have to consider people. When I look at Rikishi, I picture dancing and shoving his ass in people's face.
Yeah.
And I want to say his most memorable moment is getting slightly pushed off the top of the Hell of the Cell into a giant truck filled with hay.
So where are we putting him?
That's why I'm like dancing him on either side of Umaga.
So putting him in front of Umaga? Again, we can put him there, and if we want to adjust after we put everyone else, there's four more people.
Yeah.
We can adjust, because now we're getting to some heavy hitters. Rocky Johnson. By the way, as they did the debate, did you know it's September, y'all? Subs to the channel are 20% off, and the longer you go, like 3 months, it's 25% off. And if you go for 6 months, it is 30% off, and they charge you per month, not up front. So you just gotta commit for cheaper subscriptions. Even if you can't afford Amazon Prime, which you can link to your Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming, support the channel, and September ends at the end of the month. Ding. So where does Rocky Johnson go? Also, subbing to your channel is cheaper than a Starbucks coffee. Probably even just cheaper than a Tim Hortons coffee for Canada. I don't know. I don't...
Let me see.
I go, Casey's doing that while we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do here.
It's cheaper than a Starbucks coffee in Canada. Not cheaper than a Tim's.
Not cheaper than a Tim's. Okay.
Not cheaper than a Tim's. Okay. Tim's is pretty good prices with their coffee because they're not fancy. It's cream and sugar. Rocky Johnson. I mean, he accomplished a lot in his career. Especially in the era that he competed.
So he sits at the head table?
If he does, it's behind Umaga.
Okay, or does he sit at the kids' table?
I feel I'm leaning more kids' table for Rocky Johnson.
Do you disagree, Brant?
I don't, because I think most people will associate him with just the fact that it's like he's Dwayne's dad. Okay. And the reason that he's in with the NLI family list is because married Dwayne's mom.
And then there's Dwayne, the Rock Johnson.
Head table ahead of Yokozuna, just saying.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm just, if we're going to talk about the Anoa'i family, and we're going to talk about who the actual head of the table is, as much as Roman has run the gauntlet, and Rock, just put Roman up there too.
Let's okay, see. Where?
He's behind Dwayne.
Yeah.
Okay. Ahead of Yoko.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd put him ahead of Yoko right now, just for what he has been able to do. And being essentially the face of the company for, what, 4 or 5 years, ever since John has kind of stepped back?
Yeah.
But until Roman beats Dwayne, I think in everyone's mind, Dwayne is still the head. Roman still has to slay the Brahma Bull before he can fully be the Don of the family.
And then there is one. Sami Anoa'i Zayn. They did screw it with the Wikipedia and put it on Hawaii.
I know. That was great. Good.
Whichever user went in and did that, I applaud you, sir. Well done.
So
I think he's, well, I mean, as of Friday, he's invited to dinner.
He's at least invited to dinner.
He's invited to dinner.
I would make an argument. He's at the kids' table.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
I would put him at the kids' table simply because of what he has done in NXT, in WWE, in ROH, as, you know, El Generico, the masked Oos.
El Uso Generico. Yes.
From parts unknown. We didn't know that was technically Samoa. But I would say he belongs at the kids' table just because, you know, multiple championships across companies. Okay. And honestly, I would say of this entire thing, he's one of the most entertaining sons of bitches in the bloodline.
Okay, so where at the kids' table does he sit? Is he at the head of the kids' table?
No. I want to situate him probably between Naomi and Solo.
So right there.
I would, yeah.
Do you disagree, Keishi?
That's not a bad spot for him, yeah.
Because I'm looking at full career accolades here.
Yeah. See, when I was first putting him in, I was looking at it as, well, he's technically not married into the family. But if we're looking at overall career accolades, yeah.
Did you like the picture we used with the shirt for him?
100%. Yes. The best. I mean, I would also argue he could go in front of Naomi because he's done a lot of stuff.
That's true, because I would say Naomi didn't really get her start until WWE.
So yeah. they're swapping seats.
Yeah, I'd almost argue for Jacob, but like Jacob's a killer.
Well, and like I said before, I think Jacob, for being as dominant as he was for as long as he was, he's kind of like Roman Jr.
Yeah,
in a sense.
But exactly.
To the level of Roman Reigns.
I would see it as like Sammy's gonna go for Jacob's seat, and Jacob's just like, hey man, and he's like, oh, sorry.
that Sammy, like, he's trying to sneak into the chair, and just Jacob turns around and it's just like, sup, brah? And
yeah.
Oh, this is yours. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go over here now.
Yeah.
So do we have?
I love that we had that both the same visual.
100%.
Any arguments of positioning? Do we want to change anyone's position, or is everyone in the right spot?
No, I looking at the overall arc of this, I would say that it feels pretty good.
Okay.
Afa and Sika ahead of Rikishi again feels right, only because they did what they did early so that Rikishi could. You know, they walk so Rikishi could attempt to run.
they shrunk heads so Rikishi could stink face.
Yeah. Well played, sir. But also, I think Rikishi spent so long being kind of the third person or the pseudo muscle for Too Cool that it's hard to get that out of my head when they tried to turn him serious with, you know, like, I did it for The Rock. I did it for the people.
Yeah.
Because that always just felt like out of the blue, and it just felt, you know, it felt like such a forced heel turn where you're like, really? That guy?
All right. So that's the tier list. Good job, guys. And that's our show. That'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rock will be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. CB Radio is live Saturday night, midnight-ish. Before that, will be Fortnite with friends. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. I think to preview Extreme Rules, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Calendar-wise? Yeah, Extreme Rules. Preview next week, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tim should be back, by the way. He had family stuff, so I wasn't here tonight.
Oh, I thought maybe he was still working on a microphone.
No, he had family obligations to attend to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's at Flames Forums. Keishi, where's your stuff?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Usually, mostly on Twitter, putting over independent wrestling in both Alberta and Canada as a whole. If you'd like to support me monetarily, I have a merchandise store on Redbubble. You can find that link on the description of both my Twitter and my Instagram.
The intern's on the Twitters.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. I tend to make friends and have commentary on things that I probably shouldn't have. And also, my WTR fantasy partner, the WTR Wheel, also has a Twitter. It's been busy. It hasn't really had time to tweet yet. But working on it. It's working on it.
Working on it, he says. Working on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and apparently it is One Hit Wonder Day.
It's also Tim celebrating a Happy New Year. So Happy New Year, Tim.
Mazel.
This has been WDR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on Wild Talk Radio. We'll see you all week long for all the great programming we have, and right back here next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.